Let's open our Bibles to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John this morning and continue on where we left off in the 22nd verse of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. I think we're all familiar with this passage that the sheep are safe and content, and it's a great chapter to look over, and it's one that you could spend a lot of time in searching the deep truths of this portion. I want us to remember especially the 17th verse, and I think we always want to remember this verse because this is one of the great verses that brings out to us that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life and no man took it from him. Notice what the 17th verse says. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'm so thankful for this verse of Scripture, because those that attack the blood of Christ, and as we have mentioned before, say that the blood of Christ had no effect on salvation whatsoever, this verse of Scripture brings us to the place that it was impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to bleed to death. If he would have bled to death, of course the soldier could have said that he took the life from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then John 10 would have been wrong. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for my sheep. No man takes it from me. And I can't emphasize this enough, because it is those that make fun of the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood, and they say that his blood has no more power in his veins than it had when it was shed on the cross of Calvary. Now this is a lie from the pit of hell itself. And, of course, they say that the Lord Jesus Christ did not bleed to death, and we have pointed this out before, but I repeat it again, because it's so important for all of us to get this and to understand this, that we might not have Satan take away from us the great truth of the Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life. They say that he did not bleed to death, and we say, praise God that he did not bleed to death, and we're glad of that, because if he had bled to death, then the soldier could have said, I took his life from him. That's why the spear was not thrust into his side until the Lord Jesus Christ had laid down his life and given that life to the sheep, for the sheep, that they might be safe and secure. And so in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this great salvation that no man took his life from him, but he laid it down of his own accord. And so we want to remember that portion of God's Word, especially when we get into the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. And when we hear those that attack the blood of Christ, we can point them to this place that it's impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ's blood to be shed first, because he had to lay it down that he might take it once again. Now let's go into the 22nd verse where we should be this morning. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, this is a great portion of God's Word, and yet it's a portion of God's Word that some hate because they don't see the security of the believer. When we get into a portion like this of God's Word, we have to take it and see that the Lord Jesus Christ was walking near Solomon's porch, and when he was there, there were those that came to him, and they were doubting the Lord Jesus Christ, if he was a Christ. And they say to him in that 24th verse, Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly. Beloved, he had showed them that he was God manifested in the flesh. He had showed them by his works. And of course, he brings this out in the rest of the chapter, that his works spoke that he was from God. Nobody did the works of Jesus Christ. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. And he also gave sight to the blind. Those that were deaf could hear. Those that were lame walked. And now they said, tell us plainly if you be the Son of God. And of course, even in the next chapter that we'll get this evening, in the 11th chapter of John, we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ raises Lazarus from the dead. He was dead, but he's alive. Remember when he went to the tomb, Martha said to him, "He stinketh, don't open a tomb. He's already been dead 3 days." The Lord Jesus Christ allowed him to lay that way to be sure that everybody knew that he was dead. If he would have come right up to the casket after he had died or where they had him laid and raised him, they would have said, well, he was really just asleep. God wanted everybody to know that Lazarus was dead, and the Lord Jesus Christ brought him from the dead. Now, that's a great thing to me as we see the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, after seeing all this and looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as he had all those people sit down, the 5,000, men plus women and children, sitting down there, he fed them. And they saw the miracle. And yet they said, tell us if you be the Son of God. Tell us plainly. Well, beloved, his miracles spoke that he was from God. Nobody else could do these miracles if he wasn't from God. And that's exactly what we had even in the 19th verse of this chapter. It says, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these things. And many of them said, he hath a devil, and he is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the works of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? You see, they saw the miracles. And yet they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and say to him, tell us plainly, if you be the Son of God. Now, every one of us would have said in our heart and our life, if we would have been there, well, surely he's the Son of God. Because look at the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. And yet, they doubted. And today, there's still the same doubt that we have in the world. A lot of people haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ because they just don't believe what the Bible says. They don't believe the miracles of Christ. They don't believe that God can save them because Satan has whispered in their ears many times, you're too bad, you've gone too far, you've committed the unpardonable sin, and that makes it impossible for you to be saved. Now, that's a lie from the pit of hell itself. But they would rather believe the lie of Satan than the precious word of God. And it's the same thing with the people of the Lord's day. They would rather believe Satan and his lies than to believe in the Son of God. We would have thought that everybody would have rushed to the Lord Jesus Christ's side after he had performed these miracles and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. But they didn't. They didn't believe. And today it's the same thing. Though the world sees many miracles in our lives, who have trusted Jesus Christ, for some have gone deep down in sin, and they have a testimony for Christ, and they've been on dope, they've been on alcohol, and now they've turned that life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, some of them were saved like I was as a young child, and we didn't get into deep sin, but there's still the miracle of the new birth. But the world, though they see this and the change in people's lives, they still do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They think it can work for everybody but themselves. One brother told me after the Wednesday night meeting, he was telling me about when he was in the service, that some of the fellows say, well, we're going to give up drinking if you get drunk. Well, I guess that is really something, isn't it? Always something to give up drinking. When they see this brother get drunk, then they're going to give up to drinking. Well, they weren't ready to give up their drinking, were they? Because they knew that this brother was saved and secure in Christ Jesus, and he wasn't going to get drunk, so they didn't have to worry about giving up their liquor. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to see the transforming life in an individual. But they wanted to see something from the Lord Jesus Christ plainly. Tell us if you be the Christ. Well, you'd already told them by the word. And notice the next verse. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Look at the works. And beloved, this is exactly the same thing that we're getting in the book of James. James is telling us that faith works. Faith works. And without faith, you don't show or produce the works that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this chapter is all about. When a man is born again, he's born from above. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to go to three or four different scriptures. Let's turn to the book of Colossians for a moment and see how safe and secure we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The third chapter of the book of Colossians, and notice what it brings out in the third verse. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, notice the verse again. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Beloved, when a person has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they're safe and secure in Christ. Why? Because as that verse in Colossians says, for ye are dead. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. We are hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great thing? Now that's exactly what John brings out, as he brings out in the 26th verse. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Beloved, those that are in Christ Jesus are hid. They know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they hear his voice. Many times when we've heard people speak, we wonder if they're of God. Well, it doesn't take a believer long to find out if a person is telling the truth of God's word, because they have the Spirit of God living within them. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We'll look at a verse of Scripture in a moment about that. And as they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they're put in Christ, in God. And the moment that they're saved, God gives them ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. He bears witness with their spirit that they are the sons of God. Now, when they hear a message, they know if that message is from God or from man. Many times you've heard preachers, and you say to yourself, there's something not right about it. You don't hear the voice of God speaking to you. And you say, I don't know why, it's just something about it. I don't get anything out of that message. There was a lady that came to Florida. And as she came to Florida, she was going to one church to another church. She was from the north. And finally, she came to a place where there were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, you know, I've gone all over the city trying to find a place where I could hear the voice of God speak to me. And she started naming the different churches that she had been to. But she says, you know, he wasn't there. He wasn't there. And she says, when I came here, I heard God speak. Now, beloved, a lot of the other places had great teachers and speakers as far as the education of the world goes. And a lot of fine men that had gone through a lot of fine seminaries. But, beloved, if they're not led by the Spirit of God, if they're not the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sheep can tell the difference. You can't fool the sheep, because they know the shepherd. And as we pointed out in the first part of this chapter, how interesting it is to watch a shepherd call the sheep by name. But us that haven't been a shepherd, we don't know anything about that. But a shepherd knows each one of the sheep. And as I related the story about my nephew, as he knew his sheep and he could call them by name. And I could call them and the sheep would go the opposite direction, because they didn't know my voice, but they knew his. He could call them back. I'd call and they'd go. But beloved, he could call them, and they knew the shepherd's voice. And we who are saved and have believed, you notice what that 26th verse says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Now, I left out the word man there purposely, because the word man is in italics, and when we see that, we notice that the translators have put it there. It wasn't in the original manuscript. Any plucked them out of his hand. Nothing's going to be able to pluck them out of the hand of God, because we're hid in Christ in God. Now, I want us to notice another verse of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and I want us to see the third verse. Ephesians 1. And verse 3, and this again is another great portion of God's Word. Notice the first chapter of Ephesians, and I said the third verse, it's actually the 13th verse, is the verse that I want. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Not only are we hid in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice the next verse, the 14th, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Beloved, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, another verse of Scripture that is for real familiar to all of us, I am sure. The fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and let's look at the 30th verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How long are we going to be sealed for? Until the day of redemption. The Lord God not only puts us in Christ, and then in God, hides us in Christ, in God, and then He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise. No wonder the Word of God brings out these great truths in such a wonderful way, as we see that bear witness right before us in this portion. Turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And again, this portion was read to us earlier this morning, but let's look at the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the same verses that we had read to us this morning at the first service. The 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How much did love God? God love us? He loved us so much, beloved, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? Nothing. I don't care what it is, and you can go right over these verses, and we could start with tribulation. Can tribulation separate us from the love of God? No, many of saints have gone through great tribulation. Many people have gone through great deep waters, such as Job went through. Could the tribulation that Job went through separate you from the love of God? No.
Turn the tape over, please. Thank you.
Even when his wife was telling Job to curse God and die, Job would not take her advice, nor did he listen to his wife. He did not curse the day when he was born, nor did he curse God, though God had put him through all kinds of things, allowed Satan to put him through all these things. And beloved, we can remember this, that Satan is never through with us. Never through with us. As I was just thinking the other day of a dear man that I visited some time ago, as I went to his office, this man is a great servant of God. He's with the Lord right now. And I don't know how many here knew this brother, but I'm not going to call his name because it might destroy the great testimony that he had for Christ. But he was up in his 70s, and when I went to his office one day to see him, I talked to him, and I said, "Brother, are you saved, and do you know it?" Well, you know, I knew this brother. I've known him practically all my life, at least all the time since I've been down south, I've known him. And he's been such a witness for Jesus Christ. He started testimonies. He has won many to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I said this to the brother, he looked at me and he said, "Yes, I'm safe and secure in Christ." And I thought, well, maybe he had a hard day. Maybe he's just not so happy. But I knew he was kind of hesitant. So he asked me to stay over for lunch. And so I stayed over for lunch with him. And as we're sitting down together eating lunch, he said, "Brother, you shook me when you came in this morning and asked me if I was saved and if I knew it." He said, "If you would have come into my office 2 weeks ago, I would have had to drop my head and say, I don't know if I'm saved today." He said, "The devil has put me through so much that," he says, "I didn't even know for a couple of weeks if I was even saved." Now, beloved, he had gone through a lot of sickness. He had gone through a lot of trouble. But here is a man that has been serving the Lord and preaching the gospel and winning souls to Christ, starting testimonies for Christ, and now at the last part of his life, Satan comes to him and makes him doubt his great salvation. But he says, "I'm glad that you did it." And he says, "I think the Lord asked you to do that for me this morning, just to make me answer." Because he says, 2 weeks ago I was doubting, and he said, I had to go back to the Word of God to see if I was safe and secure, if I was saved. Beloved, the devil is never through with you, nor is he through with me, and he would love us to doubt our salvation and to question God's integrity and God's Word, and if he can get us to doubt God, he has robbed us of the joy of our salvation. And he'll never give up on you until you're buried in the grave. Though you might be 70 and 80 years old, though you might be 110 years old if a man would live that long, Satan will still try to come and rob the man of the joy of his salvation. But, beloved, let us remember, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us new life in Christ Jesus. And I'm so thankful that that brother who was trying to go through tribulation with Satan, giving him a rough time, could know and could say, yes, I know. Beloved, Jesus Christ never leaves us. And we could go over all these things, but for the sake of time, I don't want to go over all the things in the book of Romans, but each one you can take, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, and you can bring them up. Can any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? No. And then he goes down even into the 38th verse, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is it impossible for a person that has been born into the family of God to be separated from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, a lot of times when people hear this type of teaching and go into the Word of God, they get upset because they think that the preacher is trying to say that a person can get saved and then go out here and commit all kinds of iniquity and still go to heaven. Now, beloved, let's be honest about it. I don't believe those that believe in the falling away doctrine or those that believe in the security doctrine, either one of them would say if a man goes out here and lives in sin that he's a born-again believer. Now, those that are believing in the security of the believer would say that fella probably just made a profession of salvation. As this man maybe came into a church, maybe came into the fellowship, maybe started to break bread and took all kinds of part, maybe even was up before the people and praying and singing, and now he's no longer in the things of the work of the Lord. He's down in the gutter. He's living in sin. Well, beloved, most of us that believe in the security of the believer would say, probably the man never touched the Lord Jesus Christ. He never was born again in the beginning. Now, those that would believe in the falling away doctrine would say, well, the man needs to be resaved. But, beloved, you can't be resaved because it's a birth. I want to bring out something simple about this morning. A simple illustration. I was born in 1929. I'm 54 years old. November 1st, at about 12:15, that day. Now, the only reason that I know when I was born and the exact time is I saw it in a diary one time that my mother had written. Now, I know I was born because they told me I was born. Now, I couldn't have told you that unless it was written in the ledger there that my mother had and that they told me when day I was born. I needed to have somebody tell me. Now, when a person is born again, many times a person is saved, they don't have an instructor to tell them you're born this day and write down the date. And so they might not know the exact date that they trusted the Lord, but they know they trusted him. They were born into the family of God. What happened? They became a new creature. They were born again. Now, first of all, when I was born of two people, my father and my mother. And because of Jim Redling being born to Arthur and Lydia Redling, I am their son, and I am one, they're one in me. Now, no matter what I would do to my parents, no matter how much I might disgrace my parents, beloved, I'm still their son. I could go out here and live in all kinds of sin and bring disgrace on their name, and everybody would point and say, that's the son of Arthur and Lydia Redling. I would bring disgrace on them. Now, if my father was living, he could go and maybe disinherit me as far as any wealth that he might have had. He could say, I don't want him in my will. We had a man in Minneapolis do this to his son. His son was an undertaker, and his dad wasn't fond. They couldn't get along too good together, so his son broke off and started another undertaker parlor. And when this happened, his father disinherited him. He got so angry at his son, he wished that he could have said, "You're not born to my family." But every time anybody looked at that man, they said, "That's so-and-so's son." Beloved, though he had disinherited him, and in his will, when he died, he only left that boy $1, so he couldn't break the will. He was still the son of that man and that woman, because in that son, those two became one. Now, it's the same thing with the birth of the natural birth when we're born into our family, so it is with the spiritual birth. Let's just look back at the third chapter of the Gospel of John. And, beloved, this is what we get from God's precious word. And we notice that Nicodemus asked the Lord Jesus Christ, after he says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In the third verse, in the fourth verse, Nicodemus says unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, he wants to know the answer to this. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Is this what you're talking about, Lord Jesus? No, that wasn't what he's talking about. Notice the fifth verse. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, every one of us have been born naturally into our parents' family. We're one. We brought those two together, and they're one in us. We have characteristics of our mother. We have characteristics of our father. Now, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born not of man. He was born of God. Mary was overshadowed with the Holy Spirit of God. And God put within her a holy thing. Mary was going to bring the Christ child. She had a child that was born of the Spirit of God. Now, beloved, when we're saved, we're born by the Spirit of God. We're wooed to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. We have a spiritual birthday. Now notice what it says. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In order for us to have the second birth, we first have to be born like we are with the flesh, a sinful flesh. Now since we are sinners in the flesh, now we need to be born anew. We need a new nature to be put in us. How does this take place? The Spirit of God speaks to us through the Word of God. When we believe in the Word of God, we are born into the family of God, born of the Spirit of God. It's a birth. That's why, beloved, it's impossible for God to disinherit you, to throw you out, even if you do disgrace Him. But let me say this. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, and you've really been born again, you're not going to want to live in sin. You're going to want to live in righteousness because you have a new nature. You see, our old nature was a sinful nature. But now we have a new birth put within. Now we want to live a new life for God. We don't want to live in the pig pen anymore. We have a new desire. We want to read the Scriptures. We want to hide God's Word in our heart. And beloved, if there's no desire there, you haven't got the birth. You haven't got the birth. For a man, when he is born by the Spirit of God, he has a new desire to learn more of God. And that's why I'm always afraid of people that don't grow for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think they've touched His garment. Beloved, if they are still living in sin, I don't care if they walk every church aisle in the city. I don't care if they made profession after profession. They're not saved. Because the moment a man is saved, they are new creatures in Christ Jesus. They don't want to live in a cesspool of sin. Because God has given them a new nature. And beloved, if you still desire to live in sin and crave the things of the world, you better check up to see if you've ever been born again. Because God does not make a mistake when He creates in a person a new life. They're born into the family of God. Isn't that a great thing? I'm glad that I'm born into the family of God, that, beloved, I'm part of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has hid me in Christ, and we're hid in God. He says the Holy Spirit of God has sealed us. And then He says in the 10th chapter there, we're in the hand of Christ, and we're in the hand of God, and no man is able to pluck them out. Why? Because of the birth. Now, beloved, it is true that a man can sin. But God has a razor strap, just like my father had. When Jimmy used to get disobedient as a child, my dad would pull me up into the living room, into the big bedroom upstairs, and we'd go into the closet, and he'd shut that door, and he'd make me draw my trousers. He didn't believe in any padding. And he had an old little razor strap. It was called the auto razor strap. I've tried to find one. I've got Dad's old auto razor. It's just a short strap about that big, and it goes inside of a razor, and you sharpen the blade. I wish I could buy one. I've been trying to find one of those razor straps, because that's the thing that I was licked with, and I'd like to have it complete so I could have the razor and the strap. So if you've got one, let me know about it. But anyway, I'd like to buy one of those straps. But you know, every time he'd take that razor strap, he'd take it up and hit me. And when he hit me, it wasn't bad enough, hit me, he'd say, "That hurts me more than it does you." Now, my dad did not do it because he hated me. And sometimes when he'd do that, he'd say, "It hurts me more than it does you." I'd say, "Well, why don't you stop?" But you see, I think you've had the same challenge that I had as a boy. You found out that the seed of learning is on your feet when you get that strap across it a few times. Beloved, it wasn't that he thanked me because he hated me, but he hated some sin that was in me. And he wanted to drive it out, and to drive the point across, he used that razor strap. And he said, "Son, it hurts me more than it does you." And I couldn't understand it until I got a child of my own. And then I knew what it was, how hard it is. But you know, if we love our children, we'll discipline them. If we don't love our children, we won't discipline them. It's that simple. Now, God is a loving God. And when his child goes out here and starts to get careless in his Christian life, God lets him go so far to bring up 1 Corinthians 11. Some are weak, some are sickly, and some sleep. God has three things in the book of Corinthians that he brings to our mind. And these three things he says to us: some are weak, some are sickly, and some sleep. Beloved, he's got three ways to use his razor strap on us. Not all sickness or weakness is because of sin, but God uses it. Some are weak. Some are weak. God knows he's got some weak children. And God deals with those weak children. And he says, "I want you to be brought back to me." And he tries to woo that one that is enticed by sin. And he says, "Don't go the world's way. Don't go that way." And the reason that we go the world's way is because we hang around with the wrong crowd. We go around with the wrong people. And we're carried away. We're weak. God doesn't want you to be weak. And he says, "Some are sickly. Some aren't only weak, I've not only made them weak, but I made them sickly, that they might be spoken to." And then after God gives them this, and it might not be the sickness in your own flesh, it might be a sickness in your family. God might touch one of your children, sick. He might touch your wife, he might touch your husband, he might touch your mother, he might touch your dad, and just take them in sickness. And I saw a man one day, I could never reach to the Lord. And he was furious with me all the time. He wouldn't even come to church. He let his wife come, and she's a fine believer. And finally, God just had to touch that man to bring him to himself. He touched the little girl, and they couldn't find out a thing wrong with him, wrong with the girl, and yet she was dying. 12-year-old girl. And finally, by her bed, he says, "Oh, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I want my daughter to live, and I confess I'm a sinner, and I accept Christ." And he says, "Just reveal to the doctors what it is." As soon as he accepted Christ, that man, the doctor walked in and said, "We found out what's wrong with your daughter. She has sleeping sickness." And he told me, he said, "Jim, it was when I turned myself over to God is when God gave him the answer what was wrong." Beloved, they couldn't find. And I think God hid it from the doctors until this man was brought to Christ. And sometimes God shows us, even in our life, we're a disobedient Christian, so he allows one of our loved ones to get sick. Maybe not us. When Abraham was out of the way, he didn't touch Abraham. He touched all of Pharaoh's household and caused sin upon them. But Abraham was the one that sinned. And beloved, you might be walking far from God, and if you're walking far from God, God might touch somebody in your family to bring you back. You're not too big for God to deal with. Some are sick. And then if that doesn't work when God deals with his children, then God says, "Okay, come on home to heaven. Enough of your foolishness, honor. You've disgraced me. You've dishonored my name. I'm going to take you home to heaven." And he pulls you up to heaven. You might say, "How about my sin?" Beloved, your past sin and your present sin and your future sin is all cleansed in the blood of Christ. But God has a responsibility to every believer. And beloved, if you're not living in the right relationship with God, you better be careful, because my God knows how to deal with his children. And this is the trouble with people today. They think God is just some lovely, sugary daddy up there that's going to overlook them. God's not going to overlook your sin. God's not going to overlook my sin. God's going to judge it. For God would be a terrible God if he wouldn't judge a believer. And that's why he says in his word, judgment starts with the house of God. Beloved, is our house right? Is our house right? Oh, judgment starts with the house of God. Beloved, as we notice this great portion of the book of John, the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to show to us that we're born into the family of God. We've been born naturally and we've been born spiritually. And if you've been born into the family of God, it is impossible to be unborn. You might disgrace your heavenly Father, but beloved, you're still his child. And God will work on you in the three ways that we see in Corinthians. If you are his, if you're not his, God will never discipline you. You know, some people say, well, I just can't understand how that man can live in sin. I can understand it. If a man who professes to be a Christian and starts to live in sin, beloved, I put one thing over his name. It's not only a question mark, but I say that man has never been saved. Because if you're God's child, you can't continue practicing sin and get away with it. Because God's going to get you. And he's going to get you plenty hard. Because you're his. A father might let his son or daughter go for a while, but then one day that father brings down that razor strap. He's had it long enough. Beloved, I never worry about a person that professes to be saved and goes out into the world. I just say, well, I'll find out soon if they're a true believer or not. And I just watch. And then I see if they're a true believer, I see how God starts to work. God works. And I just need to keep my fingers off of it. Let God work. If they're a true believer, beloved, they'll be coming running back to God because God knows how to discipline his children. If they're not, they can go out and do anything. They can disgrace the name of God because they were never God's child. They were just an imposter. Beloved, we've been born into the family of God. We're created a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. But notice what he says there, and I and my Father are one. Then they took up stones to stone him. And beloved, the rest of the chapter, we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ asked them why they took up the stones to stone him. And they simply say, because you made yourself of God. He brings up those wonderful verses, and then at the last, he closes in that 42nd verse, and many believed on him there. It was when he pulled away from this group of people that doubted. They came out to the Lord Jesus Christ. They restored themselves once again with Christ. And there they believed on him. They received him. They were born of the Spirit of God. Beloved, these are the ones that were saved at the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that day, and then 5,000 were saved a few days later. These are the ones that had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it a great thing to be saved? Isn't it a great thing to know that we have salvation? But beloved, if there's one here this morning and you don't know you're saved, you can know it by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life right where you sit. You can be born again. Shall we just bow in a word of prayer? Father, maybe there is one here this morning that would like to be saved. Maybe there's one that has doubted their salvation. Oh God, give them the assurance of salvation that it's in Christ Jesus. It's nothing that we can do. And Father, if there's one that needs to trust thee this morning, we just pray right where they sit that they will trust thee. And if not, we just pray that they'll make it known unto us that we may be able to help them and point them to Jesus Christ. Oh God, speak to us and drive us close to thyself. We ask in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. We'll see you tonight, Lord.